Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Those who are familiar with the teaching of Jesus know that he often taught by the use of parables. Now, a parable is a story concerning some material matters, and it has a spiritual meaning. It's a short, fictitious narrative from which a religious and moral truth is drawn and explained. It has been called an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Now, the publicans and sinners came to hear Jesus teach. The Pharisees and the scribes ridiculed Jesus for associating with publicans and sinners. It was then that Jesus taught what we sometimes call the lost parables. Now, it's not because the parables themselves were lost, but because what was lost in the parables, the lost sheep, a lost coin, a lost boy. Now, to more fully understand the message of these parables, they should be studied together as well as separately. Now, this is not to say that much cannot be gained by individual study of them, but to suggest that there is a continuing theme carried throughout all three, telling us how people are lost, and of course how they are eventually found. We ask that the reader turn to Luke chapter 15, and there you can read these lost parables. In verses 3 through 7, for instance, it tells about the lost sheep. In this parable, Jesus likened the sheep to mankind. And as the sheep was lost, so man is lost. He's lost in sin, and he is in need of a Savior. Well, every sheep was considered valuable by the shepherd, just as every soul is considered precious by the Lord, worth more than all the world. And a good shepherd would lay down his life in order to protect his sheep. Well, when one of the sheep was lost, the shepherd would not be content by saying, "Well, I have most of them, then that will be enough." No, as long as one was lost, he was concerned for that one that was lost. We certainly would not thank our children when one of them was lost, that would be enough if we had the rest of them. No, the Lord is not content with one being lost. He wants all to be saved. He wants none to go into condemnation. Now, Christ is our shepherd. He laid down his life for us. He is not indifferent toward even one that is lost. He is rather concerned about the salvation of every accountable person. And friend, that includes me and includes you. The Lord is concerned about me. He's concerned about you. And that's whether we're concerned about ourselves or not. He came to seek and to save the lost. Why was this sheep lost? Well, I don't know a whole lot about raising sheep, but those that tell me about sheep, that sheep get lost through their own carelessness and through their lack of attentiveness. It's not because of others that they are lost. It's their own inability to pay attention to what's going on. They keep their heads to the ground and eating and gradually just wander and drift away. In other words, they get too busy on the things immediately before them, until they find themselves separated from the flock and from the shepherd. And even an occasional glance upward give them their bearings and could keep them all together, but not so with sheep. Now, the shepherd tries hard to keep them all together, but the sheep sometimes it seems determined to wander away. Well, do you realize, friend, that many people are going to seal their own dooms in the judgment? Because of their own carelessness, their own indifference, their own involvement, over-involvement indeed, in the affairs of this life, to the neglect of the soul. And many shall find themselves astray from the fold, because they have refused to glance upward and locate themselves, and to see the direction that they are going. They will impose upon themselves their own destruction, because of their own negligence and their own misguided priorities. The carelessness of man is a common trait. In this parable, the lost sheep of our Lord attempts to impress upon us the necessity of our own alertness, lest we stray and be lost. But then we turn to verses 8 through 10, and here we read about a coin. Here the coin is representative of man, just as the sheep was in the first parable. Just as the coin is lost, so man is lost. Now, will you please note the diligent effort the woman of the house puts forth to find the coin? Obviously, she valued it very much. She lights a lamp, she sweeps the house in every corner, seeking diligently, and she does not stop until she finds it. Dear friend, Jesus seeks the souls of men just as earnestly. We who profess to follow in his steps, should we not be just as concerned for the souls of people as was he? And why was this coin lost? Now, the different reason for the coin being lost and for the sheep being lost. As we noted, the sheep was lost through its own fault, but the coin was lost through the carelessness and the fault of another. The sheep acted on its own lost condition, but the coin had been acted upon, and the influence of another had brought about his lost condition. The lost coin was right where somebody had left it, or maybe where they had just allowed it to fall. Will there not be those in that last great day of judgment who we condemned, be condemned because they were misguided and misdirected by some other? And woe be unto those that misguide and misdirect others as to the way of salvation. We do have an influence on those round about us just as they do upon us. And what direction does that influence point? Yes, we each one are going to be held accountable. Because people are not exactly like coins. People are not unable to decide for themselves. We are responsible regardless of the influence of others. But people can be led in the wrong direction, and that will cause them to be lost. We cannot overestimate the power of influence that each person does have, and we do not live to ourselves and die just to ourselves. And as we look at the lives of others, and as we consider our own life as well, do not we see how misspent lives are? And what an evil and harmful influence some lives are having upon those round about them. Do you not wonder sometimes how many young people are led in the wrong direction by their very own parents, and by the entertainers of the world, and the celebrities of the world, and the sport figures of the world, and many of the notables around them, and the peer pressure upon them? How many have fallen beneath the wayward influence of those around them that do not seek their good, but their harm? Now, in many homes, there's no adult that's leading the moral and spiritual training of the young. They're just left to themselves so often. Maybe mother is trying and dad is dragging his feet, or vice versa. Why do parents not show more concern for the spiritual nature of their children? Why do they do those things that can only harden the heart of the young against the truth of God and bring about their damnation? You know, leading others astray, that's an abominable thing. Jesus said it would be better their millstone be placed around one's neck and that he be cast into the sea rather than to lead others astray. Sometimes even church people act as if they have no responsibility regarding their influence upon others. Well, you and I need to consider how our carelessness may be a contributing factor to the condemnation of others into outer darkness and be like the coin. But in verses 11 through 24, there's that familiar, well-known story called the parable of the prodigal or the wasteful son. Now, this son was lost, was he not? But why was he lost? Well, it was a different reason than either the sheep or the coin. The sheep was lost through its own carelessness. The coin was lost through the carelessness of another. But the boy was lost because of his own stubborn will. His determination, like a lot of people today, to do his own thing and go his own way. It seems that nobody could tell this upstart anything. Now, he did not wander aimlessly into a foreign country. He went there deliberately. He did not lose his funds through theft or through monetary failure. He wasted his funds in sensuous and riotous kind of living. His own indulgence, his own sins, that's what brought about him to the swine pit. It seems that there are some people today, they're not unlike this son. Their minds are closed, their hearts are hard, their eyes are fixed on what they want, and their ears just simply will not hear. They act as if what they do not know has never been thought of before. Many times they go their own rebellious way, knowing all the while that they're defying God, and in some way convince themselves that it's not going to make any difference. Well, it will make a difference. But the fact is that they will be damned eternally, and they will be in hell, because that is what they defiantly chose. Indeed, the path that only leads to destruction. And there's a certain similarity in all of these parables, but there is also a distinctiveness to each one, isn't there? The sheep lost by its own carelessness, the coin lost through the influence of another, the son lost because of his own stubborn way. Now, thankfully, these stories end with the sheep being found and the coin being found and the boy returning home. Dear friend, are we not blessed that we do not have to end our lives in the hovels of sin? How dreary and helpless life would be, worthless indeed it would be, to end in such a fashion. But we can be forgiven of our trespasses. We can be redeemed and restored to our Father, which is in heaven. Did you not notice, as you read these parables, that when the lost was found, there was joy and celebration? The shepherd called his friends together to share his joy. The woman did the same thing. The father prepared a banquet because his son, which was lost, had come back. Being saved is indeed a cause for rejoicing. We read in Acts 8 how the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. In Acts 16, the Philippian jailer and his household, they rejoiced after they believed and obeyed. Indeed, there is every cause for rejoicing when one who is lost is found and comes to the Lord. But the question to me and to you is this: have you come to Christ for salvation? My dear friend, may I persuade you that life is a failure if it's lived apart from the Lord. Our lives belong to the Lord. We do not have the right to live away from Him. We don't have the right to just live any way that we want to. We have an obligation to the one who has given us life. What tragedy it is for an individual to live apart from God and to die apart from God. And we can live and die in the Lord and be among those who are blessed eternally. Do you realize that even while we live here on this earth, as a Christian, you are living the best, the happiest, the most useful, meaningful life that a person can live? I wish I could persuade every hearer to obey the gospel of Christ. No, I know I will not be successful in doing that. But I know that salvation is only in Christ, because that's the message of the Bible from Genesis through Revelation. And if you have not yet come to Christ, you can, through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism into Christ, and you will someday know the joy in your heart of living with God eternally. These parables teach us that very truth. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.